We'll begin this morning in Matthew chapter 6. There is tremendous amount of beauty in these chapters. You know that Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you have the red letters, it's all one long narrative, and the chapter divisions are put in there for our benefit, but they were not there in Jesus' words. For the sake of time this morning, I know there is tremendous amount in here, but I want to begin in verse 6. I'm going to back up to get verse 5. Because he said, when thou prayest, not if you pray, but when you pray. When you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is their reward? The glory of man. It's the praise of men. They have their reward, but they don't have the reward that you and I are looking for. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And this word closet means your private place, your chamber. It may be, we sing the song about a bower of prayer. Every one of us may have a specific place, but you know, when you pray, you can pray anywhere, at any time, because we have access directly to the throne of God. And he says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, long prayers. And I heard one guy say, real long prayers, they're not really necessary. People say, and both of you brethren illustrated this morning, beautiful prayers. But one brother said that, praying is for God. Preaching is for men. And sometimes we get carried away in our prayers but God does not hear us because of our many, many words, but he hears us because of our prayer. This would be a good place. What is prayer? What is it? Prayer, first of all, why would you pray to a deity that you didn't believe in? Prayer is the sincere desire of a regenerate heart. Prayer is the crying out of the inner man, of that inner man inside of us. It's like when it says that we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Father. But he says, when thou prayest, use not vain repetition, etc. He says, but be now not like unto them, for your Father knoweth, listen, your Father knoweth what you have, that you have need of these things before you ask him. You say, well, if he knows what we need before we ask, why ask? I mean, my goodness, he knows everything we need. But he says also in the little book of James, he says, you ask not. I mean, you receive not because you ask not. So the Lord, does prayer do anything? You know, what is prayer for? It's James again, he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So what does it do for us? You know, I used to have I used to listen to this guy on the way to work, y'all ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? I'm sure you have. But he says, God is on the throne and prayer changes things. Well, I don't know that prayer doesn't change the purpose of God. But I want you to think about a man one time that God told him, get your house in order. You're going to pray. You're going to die. And he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to God, and God added 15 years to his life. But the last 15 years wasn't all that great for him though. And there's another time over in the book of little book of James, it says that Elijah, when he prayed that it wouldn't rain for three years and 6 months, and didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained, and the earth was refreshed. But the point is, God hears our prayers, and this is what I think about a little song. What a friend we have in Jesus. I want you to think about what a friend is. You know, the scripture says, he that will have friends. You have any friends? I don't have any friends. Well, he says, he that will have friends must show himself friendly. And then you will find a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have many, many wonderful brothers in Christ. Brother David, Brother John, Brother Tim, Brother Hewlin, Brother, and all of you sweet sisters. You're my friends. But there is a friend that's better than you. And that's what this song is about. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. Do we count it a privilege to be able to call upon God? I want you to notice in this particular chapter of Matthew, he says, thy Father. Do we really understand what a great thing it is for us to call the creator of the universe our Father? See, this is he says, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace. Now, this is important. Peace. What is peace? Peace is the absence of turmoil. We could say, you know, we used to have that big old thick book, Brother Keith, remember it? War and Peace. Well, peace is the opposite of war. Peace is tranquility. Peace is freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety. There's all kinds of things in this world and in our minds that cause us to lose our peace. Worry will take your peace away. And it reminds me of and I've said this before here, that Elder Hilton Crane was in his study just fretting. I don't know what he was fretting over, just fretting and fretting and just hanging his head and doing all this stuff. And his daughter Marcia walked in and said, Dad, why pray when you can worry? I mean, duh. If you're gonna worry, you don't need to pray. I mean, why pray when you can worry? Well, the point is, and he's gonna get into this in this narrative in Matthew, but he says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. You understand that we bear pain when we don't need to? You say, well, physical pain? Well, I don't believe this is talking about physical pain. This is talking about agony in soul, worrying and fretting over things. You know, sometimes we worry about things that never happen. We worry, and my wife is a champion at this, and she knows what I'm talking about. But she worries because she's not worried. You know, everything's going too well, something's going to happen. Well, why do you worry about things you have no control over? I mean, we can't do anything about 5 minutes from now. We don't have anything that we can't control that. And, you know, we don't know what the future is, but we know who holds the future, don't we? We know who's in charge. He said, oh, what peace needless pain bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Do you have any trials and temptations? Do you have any trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Do you have any troubles? Do you have any trials? Is there something bothering you? He says, we should never be discouraged. Take it to God in prayer. Take it to the Lord. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are, that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. You know, Jesus knows where we are at all times. He knows what we feel. He knows. Do you think that he cares? We sang that song. Does he care? Yes, he cares. He cares for us. He knows us. He loves us. And he wants us. I mean, what kind of child? I love my children. I have two sons. And I have two granddaughters. I have one beautiful daughter. What kind of child would it be that never talked to me? See, prayer is going to the Lord, just talking to him. Tell him how you feel. Tell him what's bothering you. I mean, he is ever present. He's right there. And it says, do we have any troubles and trials? Is there any troubles? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And do thy friends despise, forsake thee? You know, there are some friends that are fair weather friends. I mean, a true friend is a friend indeed. And we'll get into this a little bit, in some of these other scriptures. But if you have a friend that is a real friend, he will be there in all circumstances. You can call him up. I believe, of course, we don't live this close, but, I believe, and if you call me, I don't care even if you're in Wichita, Kansas, or anywhere else. You call Alan Daniels, and I'll be there when I can get there, as soon as I can be there. I promise you that. But a friend is somebody that loves you in all sorts. They know all. A friend, Brother Hewlett, knows all about you and still loves you. I mean, people. I mean, David walked in and said, "Do you know me?" "No, I know you." I said, "Well, you know, you may know me, but you don't really know me." But see, Jesus knows me better than I know me. You understand that? That he knows me better than I know me. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And, you know, sometimes in my prayers, I get, a lot of time, I mean, I used to literally go into my closet. I don't do this much anymore. I probably ought to start it again, Brother Clay. But go into the, I got this closet back there, and you can go in there and you can close the door, and it's just as dark and you can't see your hand in there. But you see, the light is in our hearts. And I pray out loud to God. You know, you don't have to. You can pray. I mean, prayer is the sincere desire of your heart. And so when we look at these prayers, I'm going to go down through the model prayer. I appreciate Brother David starting his prayer that way. Now notice he says, "Be not like these hypocrites. For the Father knows what you need before you ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye." He didn't say, pray this prayer, but he says, pray after this way, in this manner. Our prayers should have these elements in them. And the first one I want to look at, and I don't know how far we'll get on this. This is a tremendous, tremendous blessing to be able to understand these things. Now notice he says, "Our Father." Jesus did not say "my Father." He didn't say "your Father." He said "our Father." If I say "our Father," Brother Keith, "our Father loves us." That means you and I have the same Father. That means we have a relationship with each other and that we're brothers. If your Father is my Father, then we're brothers. We're in a family together. And that's what the whole point here is. We are a family. We are a family. Our Father. Well, our Father, and there's other religions that call their priests Father. I don't, the script Jesus says in these verses is don't call any man father upon the earth. That doesn't mean you can't call, that you can't call your dad father. But that means you're not to give a reverence to somebody above, God. Now you're to love your father, but you can't love him more than you love Jesus. Now notice, our Father. I love that. Now, which Father? Which art in heaven? We are addressing the God of eternal glory. We're addressing the one that knows everything about us. He is our Father. Now, this, by the way, isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to, that Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. When he says, our Father, he's including himself. Do you understand that Jesus is our brother? Wow! I mean, when you think about Jesus, the Son of God, the one that died for us, he is our elder brother. He's a brother, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so when we look at this, he says, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our prayers should be prayer, they should be worship. When we talk about the name, and I don't want the name Reverend on me, because the word is in the Bible one time. In Psalms 111 verse 9, it says, he hath commanded his covenant forever. He said, holy and reverend is his name. His name is Reverend. That's what the word hallowed means. It means holy. It means somebody that is to be adored. The word really means reverence, honor, giving praise to him. And so we are to, our prayers should be prayers of praise. They should be prayers of thanksgiving. You know, in Thessalonians, First Thessalonians 5, I think it's 17, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything. Not for everything. But I want you to understand, it's in every circumstance of your life. Whatever it is, he says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's his will that you pray. Now, our Father, I want to turn over to Philippians chapter 2 right quickly, because I want to think about the name. What's in a name? What is when you think about a name, there is a name. Jesus has a lot of names, doesn't he? I mean, Philippians chapter 2, and we could remember over in Isaiah, it says, he is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. All of these are wonderful adorations, and they describe certain aspects, and you can't describe him in one word. Can you? Now notice, I want to, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Now, we're talking about name, the name. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. Every name. You know, back in the first chapter of Matthew, it says his name is Emmanuel. 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 Which means God with us. Jesus is the Son of God, and when he was given the name, they could have given him all kinds of, they could have called him David. They could have called him Joshua. You know, Joshua, Brother Randy and I were speaking a little bit about this on the way up here. Joshua, the son of Nun. His name, the word Joshua and the word Jesus. Jesus is the Greek. Joshua is the Hebrew. They mean the same thing. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. That's what it means. And you think about Joshua and what he did. Moses didn't get to go over there. But Joshua led them over into Canaan's land. Joshua, in that sense, was their savior from the standpoint of leading them out of bondage into, and that's another story. But notice, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name, listen to this, Brother John, at the name of Jesus, Jesus is his name. That's the name was given to him by his Father. The Holy Spirit said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. When you was talking about John, you mean John, you know, John the Baptist? They thought, well, he should name him after one of his kindred down here. I mean, you got all kinds of, I don't know how many Josephs there are in the Bible, how many Joshuas and all these, they're all in, there's a whole bunch of them. How many Marys are in the Bible? What's in a name? Well, the greatest name, the most wonderful name, he could have picked out David or Jonathan or all these different names. But, and you know, when the Holy Spirit names you, you ought to kind of go by that. don't you think? This is what they said about John. I mean, I'm referring to John the Baptist. He said before he was born, his name is John. His name's John. And when they went, and of course you know the story, he was back in because he kind of questions God, well, how am I going to know this? And he was in there speaking. He come out and he couldn't talk, but he could use his fingers. But they said something's happened to that guy in there. But he went in there and he says, until John is born, you're going to be dumb. And they said, well, what's his name? What's in her name? What's in her name? How about Elijah? That'd be a good name for your son. Or how about Joshua? Or one of these other great names. How about David? You know what he did? He said, give me a tablet. He can't speak. He said, his name is John. And then he was able to speak again. But the point here is this. The Holy Spirit said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. That's what his name is. His name is Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every knee shall bow. What does that mean? It means every knee. Every knee shall bow, whether you're in heaven or whether you're down in the lower regions. I don't care where you are, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. That's what this says. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Father. So when you think about these glorious points, now, so what's in a name? You know, he says here that after this manner, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Is this where, what, when we pray, and we should pray this, thy kingdom come, that's part of this prayer. What are we to pray about the kingdom? Are we to pray here that God, thy kingdom come? Are we here to pray that God will establish his kingdom on earth? Are we to pray that God will have a kingdom? The point here, and we need to read the whole statement, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now every other version of the scriptures, they change the word in to on. Now, you say, well, that was a mistake. It should have been on. Well, do you think the Holy Spirit knows the difference between in and on? He said to Noah, Noah, go up on top of the ark. Go on the ark. He said, Noah, come into the ark. God knows the difference between in and on. And I believe the word is correct the way it's written. Now we can discuss this later, but the word, okay, what are we praying? Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. in earth. I am praying to God the Father that His kingdom will come to me. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have in our hearts the Spirit of Almighty God. It is there. It lives inside of us. And that Spirit is what calls out to God when we're in trouble. You know, I believe that a child of God, when he's born, the first thing that a child does when he's born is cry. And prayer, Brother Keith, is a evidence of life. Crying out to God is not the cause of your salvation, but it's the evidence that you are saved. A baby, when he cried, the most wonderful sound of a mother when a baby is born is when that doctor slaps his little behind and he starts crying. Oh, what does that mean? He's alive. He's alive. Prayer is for the living, not for the dead. But he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now I want to read that. Read this verse together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying when we're praying? First of all, Lord, we pray for the church. We pray for peace in the kingdom. We pray for love of each other. We pray that God will help us to be more mindful of the needs of our brothers and sisters. But what is the kingdom? You see, the church is in the kingdom. The church is part of the kingdom of God here on earth. But when we're talking about the kingdom of God, he says, and I love this, and I think it's in Romans 14, but it says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm praying for. That God would send his peace into my heart. And I'm praying for the kingdom to come in me. That's what we should be praying. Father, help me to walk according to thy will. Help me to do the things that you teach me to do. Help me to love my brother more than me. Help me to have more interest in the establishment and continuation of the church. The church. You know, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I mean, there's one verse I read in this study says, when he comes back, will there be faith on earth? There will be somebody here praying. There will somebody be here serving and worshiping God. There will be somebody here upon this earth. It may not even be in the United States. But brethren and sisters, there will be a church that worships God in spirit and truth when Jesus comes back again. It will be here. And what we need to be praying is, God, make it come to us. There's been a lot of beautiful prayers that's been offered for this. You think we've reached our maximum yet? Huh? Is there any limit to what we? Do you think we could have more people? Are you satisfied with the status quo? Are you satisfied with just having just a little group? Well, if you're not, then pray for it. Pray that God will send laborers into his vineyard. Pray that God will send laborers and send more people into us. Send me some of those Rahabs out there. Send me some of those people out there that need God. You know, that's the problem, brothers and sisters. We don't pray any more than we need to because we don't really need him. But I need him. And you need him. And this church needs him. Our families need him. Oh, God. The family is going down, down, downhill. This nation is in bad trouble. You know why? Because the family element is being destroyed. And I've heard this said, and I believe it with all my heart. The hand that rocks the cradle shall rule the world. The praying mother and the praying father. We're family. We need to recognize that. And we need to treat either. You know, sometimes my brothers and I, and I know if you've had older brothers, you always try to whoop them. You know, you always want, my brother Leo and I would wrestle, I never did beat him. I never could whip him. He'd get me down on the ground. He says, "You had enough?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Let me up." He said, "Well, I will, but you were," but anyway, the point is, in a family, we fuss. In a family, we might, and it's ungodly for us to fight in the church. We should not be like them people out there that fuss and fight and get, you know, "I don't get mad, I get even." That is not the way that Jesus taught us. We are to love one another, and we're to treat one another as, you know what the golden rule is? Remember what the golden rule is? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or do unto others as they do unto you. You do unto others as you, you know, you say, "Well, that person was just very ugly to me. And he's going to be sorry. I'll make him sorry." Well, I don't get mad, I get even. That's ungodly, brothers and sisters. It should not be part of our, anyway, we're to love each other as Jesus loved us. Don't get angry. Amen. Vengeance belongs to who? Belongs to the Lord. We don't need to pay somebody back, Brother Keith. I mean, just pray for them. Pray for them. Father, you know the things that he did. I know you know that. And I pray that you will forgive him for his wrong. And you know what happens when you're praying for your enemies, Brother Healing? You're heaping coals of fire on his head. Pray for you. Yeah, that's why, you know why did Jesus say pray for your enemies? Because if you're praying for somebody, it's going to be kind of hard to be hating them at the same time. Now, we need to go on down. I knew that we'd get bogged down in all this mess, but I want you to think about this prayer. It says, "Thy will be done." And so we're to pray, Father, and this is Jesus' prayer in the garden. Father, if it be thy will. Every prayer that we pray should be, "If it be your will, Lord. If it be your will," and I forgot to mention Sister Marilyn Hughes. I pray for her. She has ovarian cancer. This is my prayer. Father, if it be your will, I pray that you will heal Sister Marilyn, that you will give the doctors knowledge and wisdom and understanding on how to treat her, how to relieve her pain. And if it's not your will, Father, that you heal her, then reconcile us to your will. You know, I prayed for Brother Bill McCarthy every single day. I didn't want him to leave. But the last time that we were together, he said, "I want you to quit." I was very emotional. He got so weak, he couldn't do anything for himself. And he says, "I don't want you weeping for me, but I want you to pray for me. And you know what? I am going to be healed. I'm going to be healed." He don't have cancer anymore. He is totally whole. And so what is it worse to have somebody living here on this earth in pain and agony and living from one chemo to the other chemo and never having a time of, is that better than going and being with the Lord? You see, we have it all mixed up. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to go be with the Lord," which is far better. "But for me, for you, I will remain. I want to stay here on this earth as long as God wants me to. But when he calls," and I'm kind of like old Job, when he calls, I'm going to answer. So we pray, "Thy will be done as it is in heaven." Give us this day our daily bread. This verse tells us that prayer is not to be every once in a while. This tells us that prayer should be a daily thing. You know, Daniel, when he was in Babylon, he prayed three times a day. He went out there to his window and he faced himself toward Jerusalem and he prayed morning, noon, and evening to God. prayer is, I mean, that doesn't mean you just pray. How do you get around? But I thought you said you pray without ceasing. We should have the attitude of prayer all day. And if something is going wrong, you say, Lord, I appreciate your help here. But we're to pray daily. And we're to pray for our daily needs.
Yeah.
We're to pray, and how many of us can sing that song, Hardly a Comfort Can Afford? We sing it. Every one of us have all kinds of comforts. There's not a one of us, and I thank God we have some homeless people in members of Oklahoma City Church. We have some people that are very poor, and God gave them to us to take care of. Sister Joe does the backpacks. I guess you're still doing those.
Not this year.
But anyway, you were doing a service for this community because God put it on your heart to do it. There's needs in the community. There's needs in our lives. But God, there's people that say, and by the way, Brother Randy went by to pick up two homeless ladies. One of them is Sister Trish. The other is Sister Oma. And then Sister Judy went down to the center, to the rescue mission and picked up two more. But do we pray that the Lord will bring in more people to our... Father, is there anyone out there that you think that we could help? Send them to us. And when he sends them, you need to take care of them. I told Brother Randy, I said, we don't take care of these God gave us. He's not going to give us any more. I mean, the point is, it says we're to pray daily. Give us this day our daily bread. All right, now then, let's think about that bread. I don't think I've missed very many daily meals, have you? There's an old bread basket here, see? But when this is a prayer that we're to pray to our Father. Everything that we have, everything that we have that is of any value comes from Him. He said, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we have our daily needs, but what about our daily needs in our soul? We have a whole lot of problems feeding our natural bodies, but we neglect our soul. How do you feed your soul? First thing you do, you go to God in prayer. You speak to Him. You read His Word. You meditate upon His Word and feed your soul. You know, when the Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love thou me more than these fish, more than these bread? He said, yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. What does that mean? You're going to give me a bale of hay or some kind of food for, we're not talking about natural sheep. We're talking about, we're the sheep of God. But what do you feed sheep with? Sheep food. This is sheep food. Your sheep. Feed them with the bread that is convenient for them. The bread of life. This is the word of God. And it is the bread of life. Jesus says, Moses, he talked about the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said, I am that bread. Moses, they said, Moses gave us that bread. He said, no, Moses didn't give you that bread. I am the bread of life. I am, when we can feed upon the bread of life, then we're going, he said, he that eateth of me shall never hunger. Never hunger. So we're to pray daily for our bread. Now then, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the word debt in here may confuse you a little bit. What do I mean debtors? Well, a debt is something that you owe to another person. I mean, we buy things on credit. We have debts. Sometimes people get more debts than they can pay. But the word here, debtors, and you turn over, and I haven't mentioned this yet, but you go over to the other place in and Luke 11, and it says, and I say, let me see where I want to go. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, so, you know, you say, well, which is it, debts or sins? Well, they're the same. They're the same. And how important is that point? How important is it that you, that you forgive me? How important is it? And if I, and then Peter asked this question. He said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he trespass against me? Seven times? In a day? What if I did something seven times in a day to you? Would you be gracious enough to forgive me? It's like, Brother Hewlett, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You say, well, brother, no, I think I can. How about, hey, how about 490 times? Four, not seven times seven, but seven times 70. 490 times in a day. The point here is this. There is no limit to how many times or how much you can forgive somebody. And how important is it that you do that? I mean, it says, forgive us, and it says, for thine is the kingdom. I'm going to have to skip some, about 5 minutes, because I want to get down to this latter point. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Yeah. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, that's pretty powerful. Do you want God to forgive you? How would you like for God to treat us the way we treat some of our brothers and sisters or some of our friends or our laborers or our people at work or wherever we are? Would you like God to forgive you just like you forgive others? That's what this prayer is like. Lord, I pray that you will forgive me just like I have forgiven my brother. Now, don't go to prayer to God if you've got an offense against one of your brethren. He says over in chapter 5, he says, if you come to your prayer place, if you come to your altar, and you remember there that you have aught against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go and make it right with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift. Unconfessed sin will separate you from the Lord. And do we understand God knows everything about us? Do we understand that we can't hide anything? Everything that we do, everything, every place we go, every thought that we have, God knows what it is. And that's scary when you think about that. But if we have unconfessed sins in our lives, it'll separate us from the joy of the kingdom. That's why in the little book of James, he says, and by the way, he said, if you have no sin, you don't have any sin, you're a liar. Brother Allen, if you say, I have no sin, you are a liar. That's what the book says, brother. And so every one of us are sinners, and we need to confess our sins every single day. I mean, we walk in this world, we walk along, and we think we're so good. Sorry. Well, I guess that means it's over. Brother Josh, I hope you didn't fall out of there. But anyway, I'm sorry, brother. Here's the point. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. You see, the blood of Jesus is something that is continually flowing. It is a continual cleansing. But if we go through our lives and we're trying to cover, He said, and the Old Testament says, a man that will cover his sins shall not prosper. And He says, be sure, your sin will find you out. You say, well, brother, that's pretty hard. No, it's not. It's simple. If you have sinned, and you know you've sinned, and any particular thing that you've done. Sometimes, do you ever think about you sin? Sometimes you don't even know it. That's why we confess, Father, forgive me of our sins. Forgive me, Father, of my sins. I have failed you today. Forgive me. And this is a, it says, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you your trespasses. You know, I used to have trouble with that verse connecting up with Ephesians and Colossians, where it says that we have the redemption of our redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. And I asked Brother Bill one time, I said, Brother Bill, it says we have already, we have forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. That's part of the message of the gospel. He redeemed us from our sins. We have no sin. We have no sin. Did you know that? You have no sin in heaven. But you have sins in earth. You see, our sins, from an eternal positional standpoint, have been washed away. When you get to eternal glory, if you've got one sin here on earth that you didn't confess, or that, I'm going to put it this way, that if there's one sin on this earth that Jesus didn't pay for. She's checking me out. There's people that actually believe that, Sister Joe. If you go out here and you do something really, really, really bad, and suppose you're out here drinking and having a good time and doing all kinds of stuff and you had a car wreck and you died. You didn't have a chance to say, forgive me, Lord, for that. What's going to happen to him? That doctrine says he's going to hell. But I want to tell you something. There is not, that you cannot sin a sin that will put you in eternal hell. That's pretty strong language, but Jesus says, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law. You can't go back under the law of sin and death. So why do we need to confess our sins? Because we need to do that so we can have fellowship in the kingdom. So that we can walk with the Lord. Walk with Him in obedience to His gospel. And He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.